Well, peace. What does peace mean? Anybody know? Back in the 60s, few of us know that, right? Back in the 60s, this was a big thing. Peace. You go like this. Can you do that? Peace. Yeah. People would march, thousands and thousands and thousands of people would march asking for peace in the world. Okay? When I had children your age, peace was bedtime when you guys went to bed. That was wonderful. I'm sure you appreciate that, parents. Yes. Okay? So today we're celebrating the Prince of Peace. Did you hear what they said this morning up here when they were laying the candle? Who's the Prince of Peace? You don't know? Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And there's times you need peace. Sometimes I'll have peace when I go for a walk early in the morning in the cold weather. You know, shivering, but it's peaceful, it's quiet, and I can talk. Sorry? No one wants to talk. Yes, I know. Okay, but anyways. So if we need peace, who do we ask for? Who do we go to for peace? Jesus. He may not give it right away, but that's who we go and ask for. Okay? Let's pray before we go downstairs. Dear Jesus, as we go downstairs, help us learn more about you. In your name we ask, amen.
Let us pray. As we come before the throne of grace, particularly at this time where heaven opened up and the very Son of God was given to earth. Father God, as we come before you this morning, we come with hearts that are both excited and in anticipation of a great celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to take time in this season to ponder, to meditate on the great mystery of the birth of the Savior. Lord, help us to crowd out and to block out the noise and the clamor that surrounds this season. As the world makes a noise that has very little to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help each one of us to be present in this season, to have our thoughts focused heavenward, and have our hearts open to receive the Savior. Lord, at this time we pray for your blessing upon the people of South Africa as they mourn their much-loved leader, Nelson Mandela. Lord, we pray that there will be peace in that country and they will continue on in the tone that he set for them of peace and reconciliation. Lord, we pray for peace in all parts of the world. We pray for it in our own country, at our governments at various levels, that there will be peace and decorum and kindness. Lord, we pray that in our homes there will be no tension, no stress at this season. And Lord, we pray that in our own hearts, each heart hits here today, there will be a deep sense of peace at the coming of their Savior. Lord, hear our prayer this morning, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The University of Illinois put out a report from their business department, interestingly enough, and it was a report on materialism in our age. And apparently, according to their study, materialistic people handle stress very poorly. Very poorly. Materialism is particularly bad for you if there's any trauma or challenging situation going on in your life. It is not good for your welfare. And the author quotes, I'll read a quote from the author. If you are a materialistic individual and life suddenly takes a wrong turn, you're going to have a tougher time recovering from that setback than someone who is less materialistic. In other words, materialism has a multiplier effect. And the author says, it's a finding that I think is especially interesting given our consumer-driven economy. I would sum that up and say, retail therapy is not good for you. It increases anxiety and stress. And yet here we are, right in the middle of that season, right? We sing on Sunday about the Prince of Peace, peace on earth, and all that good stuff. And yet, how many of us are going to be stressed out from Monday to next Sunday, worrying about all the preparations and the gifts and the wrapping and the Christmas trees, which you've all got up already, right? But we're going to stress ourselves, and our culture is going to be stressed. Because we have all these things to do for Christmas that are not actually anything to do with Christmas. Black Friday, well-known term now for that weekend after American Thanksgiving, where everybody goes out and spends more money than they have. That's now called the kickoff to the holiday season. Isn't that great? The Christmas season, the birth of the Savior, is now kicked off with a spending spree. Or so the world and the media keep telling us. Our challenge as Christians at this time of the year is going to be how much we embrace the world's expectation of this season, how much the world and the media are telling us we should be doing in preparation for Christmas. And while we're called to be in the world, we are definitely called not to be part of it. We are the called out ones. We're called out from that system, that materialistic system. We need to take a closer look at Christmas and how we approach it, lest we find ourselves being drawn ever so slowly into the world's way of doing things. And we have some great hymns and carols for this season. And we have some awesome scripture texts from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Familiar texts that we will read over and over again during this season. The great prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. There they are, up there on the wall. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, this prophecy is written some 740 years before the birth of Christ. So 700 years, 740, 50 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah was talking about this son that was going to be born, this Prince of Peace. And in our hymn, our carol this morning, the fulfillment of that prophecy comes in Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." "Good news," the angel said. "Great joy. The Prince of Peace has been born. There will be peace on earth. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." What does it mean to say peace on earth? What does it mean, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end? Peace on earth, the angels sang. Yet for all the Christmases that have gone by, none of us with any truthfulness can say that there is peace on earth. It eludes us. So either the Bible prophecy is wrong and the claim in Luke's gospel is misleading, for we see no peace on earth today. One option. The other option, of course, is we're looking at it the wrong way. Perhaps we're missing something. Where is this kingdom? Where is this peace? What is this message of Christmas? And why have we not, after 2,000 years, still not attained peace on earth? From all the prophecies to the fulfillment of those prophecies in the New Testament, the expectation was that this king would bring peace. And as we learnt last week, not just to the nation of Israel, but for the Gentile nations as well. In fact, the message, if you read the words of the text, the angel said, "Peace on earth." The whole earth was brought peace, the option of peace, with the birth of the Messiah. But why is it so elusive? Let me read another chapter, another scripture passage from Micah, another Old Testament prophet, Micah chapter 5. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." He will be their peace. Jesus didn't just bring peace to the earth. Jesus is peace. It's not like he came down with a nicely wrapped, shiny gift and said, "Here's some peace," and then he took off back to heaven. It's the very presence of Jesus himself on earth that has brought peace to earth. Jesus says to his disciples in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Peace, Jesus, peace, Jesus. Jesus makes a very strong comparison between his peace and worldly peace. Paul picks up the theme in Ephesians 2, Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. And again in John 16, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In me you may have peace. There will never be peace on earth until the earth embraces Jesus Christ. We've been trying it the world's way for thousands of years, and we still don't have peace. There will never be true and lasting peace in anyone's heart unless Jesus resides there. You can live in this world without Christ and take your chances of finding peace the world's way, or you can embrace Jesus. You can receive him as your Prince of Peace. You can abide in him and he abides in you. And there'll be perfect inner peace. There's no third option. There's the world's way or there's Christ's way. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until we rest in you. And we all know of that restlessness. We all know of that struggle with the world's way. We all know that struggle when our hearts want to do things our way and our spirit rails against us. Without Christ in our hearts, abiding there, there will be no peace in your life. You'll be in turmoil and conflict and anxiety and stress. But when Jesus resides, he brings perfect peace. Perfect peace. Paul again to the Philippian church, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We all have stress, anxiety, and challenges and traumas and things that go on in our life. If we try to handle it our own way or the world's way, it will continue. But when Christ abides in our hearts, we get that peace that transcends all understanding. And our hearts and our minds are guarded and protected. Paul ends that passage by saying, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The world's problem is we want the peace, but we don't want the prince. Give me the peace, but don't give me Jesus. Not an option. Not an option. Here's a little homework for you. When you look at a model of a crèche scene, and you see a little baby there, the model of Jesus, and he's lying there, what's the position of his arms? Someone want to show me the position of Jesus' arms in a crèche scene? What does it look like? Is it like this? Is it like this? Okay. What do you do when you see a little baby with their arms up like that? What do you want to do? Pick him up. Pick him up. It's a natural thing to do. Who doesn't love a baby? And this baby is called the Prince of Peace. And he's got his arms up. He's saying, pick me up. Take me home. I want to live with you. I want to abide with you. I want to be part of your life. I want you to be part of mine. I told you this story before about Don Richardson, who was an author and a missionary years ago, and he wrote a book called Peace Child. And in his travels, he came across some, for all intents and purposes, pagan tribes who were always warring with each other, villages raiding each other's villages, killing and pillaging, and there was no peace between them. And as he got to know them, he asked them, what would it take for you two villages to have peace with each other? He said, well, something has to happen for us to have peace. The leader of one of the villages has to give his son to the other village. And the other village has to raise that son as one of their own. It's a familiar story, isn't it? The conflict between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. One of the kings has to give his son for there to be peace. Jesus is that peace child. Take him. Take his peace into your heart this Christmas. Turn your back on the materialism that's rampant at this time of the year. By all means, give gifts and exchange gifts, but let's not go overboard. Let's not get caught up in that. Christmas should mean a lot more to us than just shopping malls and sales and discounts. Make this year the year you embrace the Prince of Peace. Every time you see that manger scene, think of that. That's the gift right there in the manger. Perhaps you've been distracted over the years past by the world around you and the stresses and strains and challenges of human life. Perhaps you've neglected Jesus. Perhaps he's been on the back burner. Perhaps your prayer life has fallen into disarray. The Lord is only one confession away. He's only one act of repentance. And he will come and take up residence again. Do you want peace on earth? Who doesn't? It has to begin in your own heart. The only peace this world will see will be when it looks at you and me. And they look at us in such a way, they say, how can you be so peaceful when there's so much going on? And then you can tell them, because I have Jesus in my heart. Let the Prince of Peace take up residence in your heart this year. Let him reign in your life. Then you will know the peace that passes all understanding. And the world around you will want it too. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, forgive us. Forgive us when we have listened to the world and not listened to you. Forgive us for trying the world's way of bringing peace into our hearts. Forgive us if we've been too materialistic, too caught up with things and possessions. Lord, once again this morning, we open our hearts to you. We resolve to turn back to making Christmas what it really means. Receiving the Prince of Peace. Father God, may your peace reign in all of our hearts this Christmas season and beyond. May your peace reign in our homes, our places of work, our schools. And Lord, may your peace reign in this congregation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask you to read the notices in your bulletin, but I do want to remind you that tonight we've got the fundraising concert, Mistletoe and Snowflakes, fundraising for the food pantry and for the Crosslands community dinner. Next Sunday, our service will be entirely taken up with the children's musical theatre called We Three Spies. So that's going to be an exciting time for families and all of us to come and enjoy a different Sunday morning together. And a reminder that our 2014 envelopes are now available for pickup downstairs in the fellowship room. Please join us for a coffee and time of refreshments and meet and greet. As you go from here today, go knowing that the peace of Christ is available to you. Invite Christ into your hearts and take him with you wherever you go. Peace be with you. Amen.